Welcome back to the Soulful Coach Podcast. And today we have a special guest, Lisa, joining us. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa.
Hey, Elise. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here today.
I'm so happy you're here too. I feel like we connected a while ago. I went on your podcast, now you're coming on mine. So
yeah,
I'm just happy to have you here. I also just want to get you to share your journey with our audience and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, so it's a winding road, as it is for anyone who's in their mid to late 40s. A lot of things happen along the way. But the real turning point for me was about 3 years ago. So as a little bit of a preamble and backstory, I was always the person who did everything I was supposed to do. I went straight from high school to university, then to teacher's college. I was married by the time I was 24. I had two kids before I was 30. I was like checking off all the things and meeting everyone's expectations and never really asking myself if all of the expectations I was meeting were mine or if they were more external. And then I hit 44, 45, and suddenly, and I use the word suddenly on purpose, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but suddenly my children, who were in their late teens, were independent. I had time back in my world that I'm not sure that I have ever had, really. And I still remember being on my back deck with this cup of tea going, huh, I'm on the other side of everything I ever imagined for my life. What now? And mm-hmm. What does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going through all of that, it also, as it was for everyone, was COVID, and we were reevaluating, and I was an educator, and like, all things, COVID revolutionized, shifted, and changed everything. I was struggling with this education system always, and COVID just put a magnifying glass over everything that I had really been struggling with. And the emotional labor and the strain of trying to move through a system in a crisis eventually had really significant health impacts for me as well. So my hair was falling out, and I was having panic attacks at work. And I knew that it wasn't a space that I could continue to be in. So between the shifts in role of motherhood and deciding that education was no longer where I needed to be, I had to figure out, well, who am I going to be now? And in conversation with other people who were having a similar journey, I realized that there's not a lot of story and narrative around what this phase of womanhood, it looks like, feels like, what it's even all about. And so I started doing some coaching work in the empty nest phase, because that is a huge, going back to what I was saying about, like, I was just checking off everybody else's boxes. And I had always wanted to be a mom. Like, don't get me wrong about that. That was something that was definitely a goal of mine. It was really meaningful. And a huge part of my identity was wrapped up in that. And when suddenly that role shifted dramatically, it was like, who am I?
Yeah.
And so I started doing coaching in that space. And as I was doing that work, because I approach it from a really holistic place, we can't talk about what's happening in the heart and the soul and the mind without talking about what's happening with your physical body, a lot of things started coming up around menopause and perimenopause. And working with clients and hearing what they were talking about, I knew I needed more information, and my own body is going through the same transformation. And so I got my menopause coaching certification. And so that's sort of where I'm at right now, where I'm again finding myself actually in a little bit of a transition, where I'm moving toward creating more menopause empowered workplaces.
I love that.
Yeah, because there was a report actually that just came out in Canada in October from the Menopause Foundation of Canada that said that had the statistic that 1 in 10 women are leaving their chosen career at their prime and at their peak because mm-hmm. of unsupported menopause symptoms. Wow. And upon reflection, I can look back and see how that is actually part of my story that I had that I didn't even know about until mm-hmm. I started doing this learning. So that's the long and winding road up until now.
Wow. That's amazing. And it's actually, there's so much truth into what you said there, because I have not entered that stage either, but I also have no idea. And you're right, there's not a lot of education facts. Was there, other than COVID and going through it, was there one pivotal moment that just turned everything for you?
There was. I'd started thinking about this different way of being because I was exhausted, right? Like physically, emotionally, everything. And I remember having the conversation with my husband going, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, the universe, right? So I put that out there and I was like, so I decided that I was going to, it was in my last year, I was teaching grade 6 online. And I thought, in June, I'm going to take a year's leave and see what happens. And it was January when I made that decision. I was like, but I don't know how I'm going to make it to June. Like, I don't have enough personal resources to make it that long. And the following Friday, my principal at the time came into the little closet under the stairs where I was teaching. And he's like, so you wrote a tweet that someone reported and you're going to have to go through a full investigation. I was like, What? And in the moment, he couldn't even tell me what it was about. He could tell me no details other than we would be having a meeting the following week. Wow. So for me, the person who had always like done everything right, had fought like for that to come to the surface was like hugely anxiety inducing. And in the meeting, the tweet that I had written was about how inhumane it was to be assigning a letter or a grade to any human, especially in this time when in that class, I didn't even know what a good chunk of those kids looked like. I had never heard them speak. I mm-hmm. did everything I could to interact with them. And then to ask me to evaluate them felt morally reprehensible.
Wow.
And so I'd written about that and I had attached a research article. And that was the tweet that got reported. And it was that where I was like, oh, yeah, no, this really is not a place for me and I can't be here. And it actually prompted me to take a 6-week leave at that point. Mm-hmm. And so to, you know, give back a little bit of the energy that had been zapped. Sorry, I don't know what happened. It just like flipped over to another screen for a second. So to give back to myself for that time that had been zapped by that very, very anxiety inducing situation. And then after those 6 weeks, I went back because I wanted to finish with my kids. I wanted to mm-hmm. see the year out with them because I loved them and I cared about them. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that there was no way I was going to be able to continue working. So yeah, there was a very specific like... And yeah. This is over for you now.
Mm-hmm. I feel the universe always works in her way and I feel there's always a time and a place where things happen and you're like, can't not see it. So that's really, it's really interesting. So I know more of your story and how you kind of also went through burnout, but I'm curious maybe for those who are navigating that now, what were the signs or what were things that happened that maybe we ignore, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a really good question because I think there are elements of burnout that we don't even let ourselves feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're protecting ourselves, right? Like upon reflection, looking back, I didn't even realize just how energy expensive it was for me just to get out the door in the morning to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I didn't realize what that felt like because it had it had just always been. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I had stopped doing it that I realized, ooh, that was really, really energy exhausting before mm-hmm. I even started my day. Mm-hmm. But things that you can, when we drop back down into our bodies, and it's one of the things that happens when we're experiencing burnout, is that we just retreat. We retreat out of our body because it's uncomfortable. It's telling us things that we don't want to hear because we feel like we have no choice but to do what mm-hmm. we're doing. Mm-hmm. And then we end up missing those signals. So as challenging as it can be, it's really important actually to drop back into your body as much as it is safe for you to do so. And just start to feel around, what are the things that you notice? Like for me, it was heart palpitations, high blood pressure. Like I said, my hair was falling out. My hairline on this side had receded all the way back to here. It has grown back.
Yeah, so you have beautiful hair. It's really luscious.
Thank you. But I was just getting my hair done recently. And I said to my stylist, who's been with me for forever, so do you remember when my hair was falling out over here? And she was like, no, but is that what all this baby hair is about? And I was like, yeah,
wow. Yes,
that's exactly. Anxiety. I would, like, at the end of the day, I would get in my car and cry all the way home.
Wow.
And then some of the more extreme things that I couldn't ignore, like when I had to just go in the bathroom and sob because I was having a panic attack in the middle of the day at work. And that's how it showed itself.
Yeah.
And I mean, lots of us have those moments where we find ourselves crying in the bathroom and we just think, well, this is part of how life is. Like mm-hmm. everybody ends up crying in the bathroom at some point. Mm-hmm. And while that's true, I was talking to a person who's a guest on my podcast, actually, and she used the phrase, just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And I just found that was so powerful because so many of the things that we relate to around this idea of we just have to push through mm-hmm. is that it's common, but that doesn't mean that it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just giving yourself some time to like really think about that and think about how do you want to feel? And if you're not feeling that way, what changes can you possibly make?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. There's so many things I think we think are normal, but it's not normal. Or is it okay, like you said? So that's really eye-opening. And even though it seems very simple, but it's looking at it from a different perspective.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, within our journey and our healing, a lot of the times we think that things happen and they can be a mistake, but I always feel things happen for a reason and it's a lesson. So within the whole process of you going through burnout, I'm curious, what was one thing that you really took away from that experience?
It's complicated. It's easy and complicated at the same time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I guess the truth of it is to listen while it's a whisper instead mm-hmm. of waiting and ignoring until it's a brick on the head.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. that's what will happen, right? Like I can look back upon reflection now, and I even knew in the moment, as I looked back over my career, there were lots of times where the universe was saying to me, this maybe isn't in your best interest. maybe you should reconsider. Maybe it's time to look at something else. Maybe like there were tons of those moments where I just was like, nope.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is the road I have chosen. This is the path I am walking down. These are the commitments that I made and I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. There was a point where I said to my vice principal there was a time where I was a central resource teacher. So that meant I was providing professional development for other teachers and coaching them. And my work was around anti-oppression, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I knew that it was my last year. And I said to my vice principal, I was like, look, I am going to do everything I can to make as much change as I possibly can in this year, even if it is at my own peril.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, specifically those words. And I manifested the shit out of that because that is exactly what happened. And we should never put ourselves in a place where, and I'm conscious of the should that I was just using there. But what I know now is that the change that I was pushing by destroying myself was never going to be sustainable.
Mm,
not yes. for myself and not for the change that I was actually trying to make. And it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Without someone there who is sacrificing themselves, which is not a productive way of making change, then all of that change unraveled itself because it was grounded in a really forceful energy mm-hmm. that couldn't maintain itself. And mm-hmm. so that was a really powerful lesson that when we feel like we're really forcing something, it's like, if you think about it really practically, if you are literally pushing something really heavy up a hill and you take your hands off of it, it's going to roll back and smush you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And those are the physical physics of it. And it's the energetic physics of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. I actually was just talking to a client about that. I said that when things feel, you know, not in alignment or not authentic, you can feel that, and there's no other way to go about it. You have to go the other way, like you said, otherwise that boulder is gonna hit you in the face. I'm curious mm-hmm. if there was a point in your work now that you've transitioned that you were actually, you felt in alignment, that aha feeling. I have felt it, but I'm curious when that happened for you.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, and then I feel like it's an evolution at the moment, yeah. especially because I'm at the beginning-ish of the mm-hmm. entrepreneurial journey, which is mm-hmm. very different from how mm-hmm. I've lived before. Mm-hmm. So there are moments where actually most days I wake up and I'm excited about what I get to do in that day. Mm-hmm. In my life now, I get to decide everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where that was not my reality in the past. I actually didn't get to decide anything. I didn't even get mm-hmm. to decide when I went to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So true. To have that kind of sovereignty over what my world looks like and what I do in a day feels very aligned. The work I'm doing now around advocating for women in the workplace, in menopause and perimenopause, feels very aligned. The work I do on my podcast feels really aligned because mm-hmm. I just get to make space for women to tell their stories of transformation, and all of that mm-hmm. feels really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the earthly things around, you know, making money and having yeah. some consistency and mm-hmm. those things that pull, like that do the energetic pull. So mm-hmm. I would, in full transparency right now, I'm in this place of like riding both of those waves mm-hmm. and really trying to get connected to what feels good and remembering that I made all of these choices for a reason. And I am, and my physically, I'm feeling much better. Emotionally, I feel much better most of the time, and accepting that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't have to be, it's okay to be afraid sometimes. It's okay to be anxious about things sometimes.
Yeah.
As long when we can do that and tune in and say, but I know I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing.
Mm-hmm. So true. I also feel entrepreneurship has that ebbs and flows. Some days are really great. Other days are a little bit quieter, and that's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But those quiet days or those quiet periods are challenging. Mm-hmm. I had a coach early on who said, you know, you're going to have to get a handle on that because it is the ride. Like it's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And I also had this moment where I was reflecting, you know, I'm turning 47 this year. And I had this moment of, well, maybe my life doesn't need to be quite as full
mm-hmm.
as it has always been. And that's mm-hmm. actually what you wanted. You wanted a life that had more space in it.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, that had a little more room to breathe in it. But after so many years of being conditioned that your value is grounded in how much you produce, how busy you are, how much you don't have time to breathe, changing that narrative is one is absolutely positive, but it takes work and it is uncomfortable.
Yes, very much. I think entrepreneurship, even growth in itself, is uncomfortable. There's going to be, you hit a point, even like healing journey from my own experience, you're in a good place and then you hit something else. And it's like, it's not linear, which we think it is.
No. Right? There's this very Western notion about like the linear nature of things. And it's just not, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I was listening to one of Jay Shetty's podcasts last year, and he used the example of elephant behavior, where elephants go out and they play and they get dirty and they get messy, and then they come back in and they clean themselves. And then they go back out and they get messy and dirty again. And I was like, and that is the truth of life.
It is true.
We don't ever get clean and then never get dirty again.
No, I think that's on point. It's very true. I think so many times we think we need to stay in that clean stage, and I don't think that's right, because there's going to be also so many moments for you to learn when, I don't know, even just going to the human design perspective, my son is a 3, and I was saying this to a client earlier. I said, he's going to be the child that has to learn and from his mistakes, put his hand on the oven, and that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. It's actually really important, right? There's lots of study coming out now around the importance of risky play, because we've taken that from kids, right? We've made everything so safe. And I sometimes think about the things that I did, right? Like classic Gen X, about the things that I remember riding my bike. I was like 7 or 8 years old, by myself to the stream. Drop my bike at the stream, and I'd like hop and skip my way through the stream up into this. I remember going so far one time until I was in this like random field. And as thinking from my parent brain, I was terrified for myself, like all of the things that could have happened. However, it gave me this great sense of capability, of knowing what was possible, of knowing what it felt like to be afraid. Like I remember my foot slipping off of a rock and getting very wet and thinking, ooh, I could hurt myself, and turning around and going home at that point. So that's risky play, and getting dirty is how we learn our limits.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think that's one thing some people don't do in business. And I think for you as like a coach as well, where it's like you see that people have to do that uncomfortable work, or that piece for that next the next chapter in their life. Can you speak to that? What are some tools or resources you think, or just even practices people can do to get a little bit more uncomfortable to that next stage? Because I think a lot of people don't do that, but they really need to.
Yeah. The number one thing I'm going to say might sound a little counterintuitive, but it's that know that you don't have to do it alone.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
Right. So many of us feel like the only way we can be successful is if we achieve something on our own. And if I use like really specifically the context I'm where I'm at right now, like most people don't know what perimenopause looks like, sounds like, feels like. And so they're experiencing all of these shifts and changes in their body. And even the fact that perimenopause can last for 10 years. So if you think about the fact that the general age for menopause is late 40s, early 50s, if you back that up by 10 years, you're in your late 30s, early 40s, when you're starting to experience symptoms, but people don't know and don't realize. And because it is something also in this context, there's a lot of shame around menopause, perimenopause, women's health in general.
Yeah, we don't discuss the things out loud a lot.
No. And so because there is misunderstanding all kinds of myth and shame, people feel so isolated around, well, I just have to figure this out on my own. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Reaching out and connecting with somebody and doing the work together is actually the answer for how you move forward.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
Yeah.
So what are some of the signs? Because I'm navigating that soon and I'm like, now I need to know.
Yeah. So what's interesting, and part of the barriers to research, is that women's bodies function differently. Mm-hmm. Every single woman will have a completely different experience. So some people actually may experience nothing. Just mm-hmm. one day their period might stop and you are in menopause once you have not had a period for one full calendar year. Mm-hmm. But the things you can experience during perimenopause are, so your fluctuations are happening in estrogen and progesterone. So you might have irregular cycles. You okay. might start experiencing vasomotor events, which are hot flushes, night sweats. You might start experiencing changes in your digestion. Suddenly you might have a food that doesn't sit with you the way it used to. Mm-hmm. You might start experiencing increased anxiety, less patience, the need to like just tell people how it is. Mm-hmm. You might start noticing changes in your nails and in your hair. Mm-hmm. You might start noticing changes in vision. You might start noticing changes in how things taste. You might start noticing things in allergies and reactions that you have to things. So mm-hmm. and that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Mm-hmm. So the other thing to know is that your muscle starts to decrease significantly once you enter into perimenopause and menopause. Mm-hmm. So you might start noticing some shifts and changes in balance. So when I start saying all those things, it sounds overwhelming because it's like, oh my God, like what is not going to be affected? Mm-hmm. And the truth is that everything is affected. So, memory issues and word recall, that's mm-hmm. another one that can be affected. But again, I'm going to use that statement that my colleague used of, just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. And it doesn't mean that you just have to live with it for the rest of mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. There are lots of things that we can do to make the process through perimenopause and menopause smoother. And mm-hmm. if you have listeners who are younger who are listening, now is the time. Mm-hmm. Because the more you have invested in your personal bank, mm-hmm. the more resources you have to spend as you're going mm-hmm. through it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I also feel for someone that is trying to figure it out, they may not even know that that's the early onset of it because, yeah, they may have anxiety or they may have this, but I don't think they would put that all together. So that's pretty difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's why it's so important to know, like, hormones impact every system in your body. They impact everything. Mm-hmm. So when you do start noticing some of those things, exhaustion mm-hmm. is another one. Like there's all kinds of signs, but mm-hmm. unless you know that those are potentially signs of perimenopause or mm-hmm. the impact of fluctuating estrogen and progesterone, you can mm-hmm. think all kinds of things are wrong. Right. Like I know some folks who have been diagnosed with depression and put on specific medication for that when really a menopause hormone therapy would have been a better option.
How would you know the difference for that?
Yeah. So that's where collaboration with your medical practitioner is important. Mm-hmm. So you're getting some testing to see like, what are my hormone levels at? Mm-hmm. And if you're starting to notice that there's some reduction in estrogen and it mm-hmm. happens to coincide with increased anxiety, mm-hmm. then it might be you need some more estrogen mm-hmm. or testosterone okay. or progesterone back in your system, whichever mm-hmm. it is. I'm not saying that that is always the case.
For sure.
But it is sometimes the case. And mm-hmm. being aware and knowing how to advocate is one of the things that I work with people. So if someone's going in to see their doctor and they want to have a conversation about hormone replacement, because practice and understanding about perimenopause and menopause is inconsistent, I will provide people with the tools that they need to have that conversation with their doctor. Like, here's the research. These are the things that I'm experiencing. This is what the research says. Can we please have this conversation and explore it? Right.
Yeah. I love that piece, because I feel it, you, how would you know where that's coming from? Or maybe you have two things that you've listed as a sign, but you're not 100% sure. That can be, I think, challenging for the individual. For our listeners, and maybe they're listening to this and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I may have this. How are some ways that people can work with you? Or maybe there's workshops or things, or even just resources that you have used that have been helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can reach out to me. I'm sure Elise will put my contact information in the show notes, but at LBoat on Instagram is a surefire way every time. So you can do that. Resources. So the course that I took, anyone can take. It is a bit of an investment and a time investment, but I will say it's one of the best learning opportunities I had. And it was the menopause coaching certification through the Girls Gone Strong Institute. There are lots of resources. There are people who are out there who are leading the way in this work. So even just following some of the, if you follow me, you'll find other folks who are also doing this work. And just, again, going back to, you don't have to do this alone, and you don't have to figure it out alone. And you don't, like, communicating with friends is necessary, right? Like, talking about what's happening and experiencing is part of the community that we build with each other. But also know that it's not, you don't have to just figure it out here. You can invite knowledge and resources in, because that makes it a lot easier. And it's a way that we highlight what's actually happening. Like, for, you know, if I think about what's happening in the workplace, so much of it is around communication, right? It's that when your body has less estrogen, the energy it takes to run your body system is more, especially because you're going through fluctuations, right? So your body is constantly shifting and changing to what this hormonal shift and change is, which is really energy expensive. So all of that is happening just on the physical level. So that's why when it comes to interacting with other humans, it can feel harder, because the more of your energy is going to sustaining this change in your body functions. So even just knowing that this is why I am more tired, this is why it's more challenging to interact with other people. And then having the process I talk about is knowing and naming.
Okay.
Knowing and naming what is happening with you in the morning. So if you wake up in the morning and you have a raging hormone headache, which also happens, you can, if you have a workplace that is menopause empowered, you could call in and say, hey, this is what's happening for me today. Can I work from home today? Or even, like, if those policies are in place, then it's just the notification of, this is what's happening for me today. I am going to work from home today. Or this is what's happening for me today. This is the support I need. Right. So knowing and naming, acknowledging, and then taking action. And yeah, that's the process.
Yeah, I think that would be really beneficial. And I think that, is that common in workplaces to have that support? No. Okay. When you said that, I was like, what is this new? And I'm just living in a hole.
No, it's the work that I'm currently engaging in. Okay. It's the advocacy. Okay. But what's interesting is England, the UK is way down the road on this. They are probably a decade ahead of us in terms of, I was speaking to a menopause coach who is doing work there. She said, yeah, almost all of our businesses now have menopause policy in place, because it has massive impacts, even just on the little tiny Canadian economy. $3.8 billion it's costing the Canadian economy. So for businesses to start investing in good policy that is supportive, mm-hmm. is not only like will increase their work, their mm-hmm. community, having mm-hmm. a healthier place to work, but it's also financially responsible. And when mm-hmm. you have women, I mean, there's that level of it, but also when you have women, I say this a lot, like me, I was expensive. I left my institution taking with me the investment I made in myself and my education, my 20 years of knowledge and experience, all of the institutional knowledge that I had, because I spent a decade working centrally, which meant I worked K to 12. I had provincial leadership that I had in a number of different areas, plus all the investment that they put into me in terms of professional development to make it possible for me to do that job. That's a huge investment in a person who walks out the door and takes all of that with them.
Mm-hmm. So imagine if they put a little piece of that money towards this piece that's missing.
Exactly. Yeah. And making spaces where people feel like they mm-hmm. can stay and they mm-hmm. can continue to do the work. And it's part of the reason why there's also a huge discrepancy between female and male leadership.
Mm-hmm. That's right? True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started personally cycle syncing like my work within my cycle. And yeah. I noticed it's made a huge difference. Does that also correlate into some of the work that you're doing? Or do you implement that, or?
Well, that's a really good question.
Because I'm not there yet, obviously. And uh-huh. I don't really know. Honestly, I feel like it will be great to learn more of this information, but I think we're not really taught. I only knew things through my mom. Like, I haven't learned that much about it at all, unless you're actively learning about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that, I mean, for those of us who are doing this work, that's the goal, right? Mm-hmm. Is to create places where people can come and learn. You can work directly mm-hmm. with a coach. And it's what I like about the workplace approach, because then mm-hmm. we're hitting everybody, mm-hmm. right? So part of that work actually is doing professional learning mm-hmm. for everyone in the company to understand, because it's not just the human who is experiencing all of the symptoms, mm-hmm. but it's also everybody who interacts. To have a compassionate workplace, we need to be able to stand in each other's shoes and understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important information for everybody to know and understand. And the model of knowing and naming, acknowledging and taking action. And taking action looks like either setting loving boundaries, or actually just asking for what you need. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the communication structure that every human being needs in mm-hmm. every setting, in every place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So women's health, always, like women's health, when we focus on that, it has good repercussions for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think that piece too of asking for help, and I even had a moment this week being feeling guilty for it, or thinking I should know everything. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know if that's just how we've been raised. We can do it all ourselves. Let's be these proud women or mothers, but you will hit burnout or some stage. So I feel that is really important that we are talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And it's interestingly, it comes from hundreds of years of colonization.
For right? Sure. Yeah.
So it's colonization and this idea of like, this is how it has to be. But when you look back through history and you look at anthropological research, there was a time when women held power, when it was mm-hmm. matriarchies that held, that made decisions, that created culture. And at that time, there were no weapons. All the rooms where decisions were made were circular. Mm-hmm. Everything was made through collaboration mm-hmm. rather than competition. Right. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. now we're in this space where absolutely everything about our culture is rooted in competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very masculine structure mm-hmm. for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And for hundreds of years, to prove that we can be leaders too, we've had to adopt that sense. And it generally causes this sense of feeling like it doesn't fit, because divine feminine wisdom is about collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there were times when women worked together in collaboration, and mm-hmm. that is when we were most successful.
Mm-hmm. I think some of society is moving back into that collaborative piece. I know that I'm a big believer mm-hmm. over collaboration over competition, but I do see it quite often in social media. So-and-so did this, and she can't do what I'm doing. And I believe that everyone can sit at the table. And it's, I don't know if you follow Gary Vee, a podcaster. He talked about, you go into the grocery store and there's like 100 types of bread. Imagine if like Wonder Bread got upset that there was another type of bread. And I thought, it's so true. You're uh-huh. going to have someone that needs keto, or someone that needs dairy free, or someone that likes sourdough. There's going to be a different type of business for all of us, and essentially the bread world as well. Uh-huh. And I am a huge believer of that. So I feel like some people are going into that direction, which is great. Yes. But other times it's actually very sad.
It is. And I mean, I even throwing my own kid under the bus at the moment, but he came home yesterday and he was like, Mom, I got 98% on my kinesiology exam. And I was like, great, that you worked hard. You mm-hmm. understand the concepts. That's how I always respond to that, because I try to focus it back on like the actual learning rather than the grade. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, my friend got 92, but she went to the teacher and tried to explain something. And then he upped her grade to 98. And I was like, okay. And he was like, whoa. And I said, does her 98 take anything from your 98?
That's a good one.
And he was like, well, no. I said, right.
Yeah.
So yes. How about we say, good for her. She used her voice and she advocated and she showed what she actually knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love like, that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Me being their mom, they just get annoyed sometimes. So they're like, Mom, sometimes can't you just let us be mad?
I actually like that perspective, because when I was younger mm-hmm. and I came home, I would, it was like more so like a joke, but I still took it to heart. I would get like a 90 and my dad would be like, why didn't you get 100? And then I go to my room and I think, why didn't I get 100? But he never did it in the way that was like malicious, but it, so I like that strategy and that thinking.
Yeah, but those things stick with us. Like I have a similar story in that I know you didn't have OAC, but I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
My OAC law class, I got 100% on my law exam. Mm-hmm. And the teacher was like, I've never had anyone get 100% on their exam before. Like, this is amazing. I went home, I told my mom, and she was like, well, why don't you get 110? And it was the same thing. She didn't mean it maliciously, mm-hmm. but it created an anchor in me that mm-hmm. said, nothing is ever enough.
Yes. Yeah.
Nothing is ever enough. Mm-hmm. And that it's those moments where we have really high emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's when anchors in our system get created, and they're really powerful. And mm-hmm. I still to this day feel it get activated. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a really exciting podcast episode that happened 2 weeks ago with someone I was super excited to talk about. It went really well. I made some amazing connections from it, but I haven't been able to let myself feel really good and excited about it because of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, but now what's the next thing then?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. there's never a moment of completion of mm-hmm. you did that thing.
Yeah.
The thing that you were afraid of, the thing that you never thought would happen, you did it. And just mm-hmm. celebrate that. It's always mm-hmm. where's 110.
Yeah, that is true. Or it's like you have a really good high and then you're like, you want that, you crave it again. And we just have to keep going after that next high, and not in a bad way, but that energetic feeling. And I don't think that also exists. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the human design work, where you can't be on all the time and you can't have that consistent motivation depending on the person that you are. So I see that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a tough one to flesh out, right? Like I'm working on it all the time. and mm-hmm. there, and it's and it's really challenging to let mm-hmm. yourself release those anchors that don't serve you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Well, this was so lovely, and I'm so happy that you joined us. What is the best way for people to get in touch? I know you said Instagram. I'm not sure if that's the 100% way for someone to reach out to work with you.
Yep. Yeah, that is one way. My website is liberatedmenopause.ca, and my email address is lisa@liberatedmenopause.ca. So those are also really good direct ways to get in touch with me.
Amazing. Yes, I'll add that all to the show notes. And just thank you. You are a wealth of knowledge, and I feel like now I want to go through like a little deep dive and do some research myself.
Like, I'll let you know. Early signs. I can help you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This was really fun.